finding life a bit complex? Confusing? Aware that your old strategies aren't working? Why not ask Pam and Marilyn? This is the Irreverent Therapists, and we're here to add some clarity, humor, and a bit of what might be considered blasphemy to your day.
And welcome, everybody, to the Irreverent Therapists. I am Pam Hodling, and with me is Marilyn Bradford.
Yippee!
And this week, we are talking about not the obvious abuse. We all know about physical, sexual, and emotional abuse, but what about some of the more hidden forms of abuse that could be affecting you or someone you know? We are going to be taking the lid off the Pandora's box of abuse and give you tools to free yourself once and for all. I have to say, Marilyn, that sounds like a good offer for today's show.
It really does, Pam. I'm excited about this call because I think people are very confused about what abuse is and what it isn't, and they're hesitant. Either they're hesitant to say I was abused. You know, they often say, oh, I'm just kind of, what do I want to say, exaggerating it, or it really wasn't that bad, or, you know, yeah. I wasn't beat with a bloody pulp. Or they do the opposite. That man held the door open for me. How abusive. So I think sort of, you know, starting out with just setting the world straight on what abuse is. I kind of like it.
Well, and it's like, I mean, there's two parts to this. I mean, there's the, you know, a whole conversation about, you know, there's things people kind of go, yep, obviously that's abuse. You know, an adult sexually molests a kid, that's abuse, yes. Right? So there's things we can all agree on. And then there's one of the things you alluded to is where somebody's in what most people would consider an abusive situation, but they don't recognize it as abuse. And we might get into that some. But really our target with this show is the things that are actually abusive to you that most people wouldn't even think of as abuse. But then when you actually acknowledge what it is, it allows you to change things.
Yeah, and I think that's the point. It's not about, oh my gosh, I finally found out I was terribly abused and I'm going to go and confront everybody. It's much more about, wow, you know, this happened.
Yeah.
And how has it affected my life?
Yeah.
And what am I going to choose to do with it today?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you and I were having lunch with another friend the other day, and we were talking about, you know, different things we've talked about or done on the radio show, different kinds of things that come up in therapy. You know, and we were all talking about abuse and how people create their identity around it. Like, I'm an abuse survivor. I'm a this, I'm a that. And it's like, in traditional therapy, there's definitely like a phase of acknowledging and accepting what's going on, allowing you to change it. And, you know, if you're doing traditional therapy, there's a place for that. But, you know, what we've found with the tools we, Marilyn and I use, is you can bypass that whole bit of I'm a survivor and where you organize your whole life around the fact that you were abused and abused and having to recover from abuse, and actually just change the things that have been affecting you from it.
Yeah, I think that one of the differences between what we do, Pam, as the Irreverent Therapists, and traditional therapy is traditional therapy has this idea that it empowers people to actually go, I'm a victim, I was abused, I'm going to confront my abusers, you know, I'm going to blah, 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 blah. And actually, that's not very empowering because it keeps people in the victim position.
Well, and just, you know, I just want to throw in here, you know, I was sexually abused as a kid, and I spent 20 years in therapy. That was back when insurance would pay for that. These days, you're lucky if you get 10 sessions. You know, but the fact is I did that, and I did, you know, just about every alternative health healing thing that came my way. And over the course of 20 years, I totally changed things. And I even went through that whole, my life's all organized around having been abused to actually coming out of that. And, you know, so on the one hand, I'm like, yeah, you can do that. It can work. On the other hand, about 3 weeks of Access Consciousness classes so undid anything I had going still from having been abused that I was like, wow, if I'd had these tools, you know, 30 years ago when I first started doing abuse stuff, what a difference it would have made. You know, it probably would have taken me a half a year instead of 20 years or 5 days.
I'm not sure why I'm saying this, Pam, but it seems relevant. Can you say just a little bit about, even before Access, what allowed you to get out of the idea that you were a victim?
Yeah, well, actually, it's going to sound like a catch-24. I stopped being a victim.
Yeah, okay.
And actually, you know, I think part of what unlocked that door for me was when I was in my early 20s, I fell down a flight of stairs and had this back injury. And I was a disabled, like, you know, not officially like on disability, but I was someone who for years had back problems and it seriously affected everything I did. And I was very aware that there was a huge emotional component to it, in that it was like my body was saying, stop and deal with this. You're not going anywhere until you change this. And that was this was all the effects from having been abused, because I'd been just shoving it aside. And I can remember this one time I was sitting at a traffic light and I thought, you know, if someone could wave a magic wand and all my back pain would go away forever, what I realized was my whole life was organized around pain and managing pain and dealing with, you know, it's like I'd made my life very small and very centered around that. And I was like, wow, all of that would still be there, even if the pain went away. And so I started changing all of that, where I'd organize myself around being someone with chronic pain. And something about that, it was, you know, it was basically saying, I'm going to take charge of my life and change what I can change.
Wow.
Because the doctors were saying, this is it. This is as good as you're going to get. And it was like, I can't live this way. I was making a demand of the universe, is the way Marilyn and I would put it now. Something's got to change. And if the pain's not going to go away, I'm going to change everything else. And I totally changed from being someone feeling at the effect of everything to, well, whatever I can change, I'm changing it. And that started me out of being a victim, because part of being a victim is you feel at the mercy of and at the effect of everything. Right. And you have no control and you have no ability to fight it or whatever. And the truth is, there are so, you know, maybe you can't change the fact that someone's standing there with a gun to your head, but there's still things you can choose and change.
Well, that's so awesome, Pam, because what was coming up for me when you were talking was how we think of abuse, we stop. A lot of people, we don't, you and I, but a lot of people stop at the idea they had a gun to my head, they raped me, they're whatever it is, and they don't see that they're actually in charge of changing how they react to it.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I always tell people is, hey, you know what? You survived.
Yeah.
You're here.
You know, Marilyn and I have a mutual friend who's someone who was held up right outside her front door.
Right. At gunpoint with her child inside.
Yeah. And she fought for her life and she won. And,
she did.
You know, and she had things to deal with that, you know, she had, it took a while to get, you know, to basically process and clear and whatever stuff from that. But she did. She's, you know, if you meet this woman, she is not a victim.
No, she's not. She's anything but.
Yeah.
And part of why we're saying this is not to make anybody wrong. It's just to say you may not be aware of the next step.
Yeah.
Which is that you survived whatever it was. And we're going to go on. We have a break in a little bit, not quite right yet, but we're going to go on to talk about just what abuse actually is and a lot of what goes on with that and self-abuse and abuse by others and all that. But the bottom line is, if you're here, if you're listening to this show, you survived it. And that's amazing. And now you get to choose, yes, actually choose how you're going to have it affect your life.
Yeah. And you get to choose what you use, you know, to kind of change whatever's not working in your life that is, you know, what they're from having had the abuse. It's like, I mean, that was the thing that was the most empowering to me, Marilyn, was to know that I can affect change on a little scale and on a big scale in my life.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I don't
exactly
have to wait around for anyone else to help me do it.
No, you don't.
Yeah. And then I can do it, you know, it's great to have help, but you don't have to have help. You can change it. So, yeah. So how do you define abuse, Marilyn? I'm going to put you on the spot.
You can put me on the spot, Pam, because I do this a fair amount. I define abuse as anything that is damaging or demeaning to the body or the being of an individual.
I like that.
Yeah. And one of the things I want to say right off the bat is there are cases where abuse was not meant as abuse. I mean, a parent may be, you know, the old, I'm spanking you for your good, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. But other ways, and I know we're running out of time, but just, you know, I'm making you do this for your own good, and they actually believe it's for your own good. So abuse is not always malicious intent.
Right. Sometimes it is. Yeah. I'm going to clobber you.
Sometimes it is. Absolutely.
Yeah. And sometimes it's more subtle than that. So we're going to go to a break now, actually. Marilyn's been alluding to it. And when we come back, we will look more at not the obvious abuse.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times.
Dr. Kevin here, and I want to invite you every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to join me on The Dr. Kevin Show, where we have a diversity of guests who help you step outside the box, behind the curtain, and see what a load of crap is going on in the world today, so you have more information with which to make better decisions. We'll see you there. Namaste.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Come heal yourself. What is healing? Healing is nothing but connecting with your all-knowing higher self that already has solutions to all your problems and is always there to guide you. Through this show, we help you to connect with that you are and tap into that innate potential you have to transform your life and fly high. Please join me, your host Monica Goyal, every Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific. Namaste.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
And And welcome back, everybody, to the Irreverent Therapist, where we are talking about not the obvious abuse. So I just want to mention, if you're listening and you have questions for us, you can go to our Facebook page, The Irreverent Therapist on Facebook, and type in questions there for us, and we will respond.
Absolutely. So, you know, we just talked recently, or talked right before the break, about what abuse is. And my definition of abuse is anything that's damaging. Let's articulate.
Damaging.
Or demeaning to the body or the being. So we're talking about both physical abuse, and we're also talking about things like emotional abuse, you know, parents who are hypercritical. I read about something in the paper today that was called Momzilla, which I thought was amazing. I'd never heard of that one before. Hmm. So a Momzilla is someone who has to be in charge of their child. I mean, every tiny little thing, what kind of shampoo are you using? Who are you meeting? What did you do in this 5 minutes, you know, which actually is a form of abuse. So I'm wondering, Pam, if maybe we should
look
at...
Am I a Momzilla? No.
You are definitely not a Momzilla. I remember you talking about you were leaving for your trip and your son was like freaking out, having like a trauma drama thing. And you were like, you know what? I appreciate that you're choosing that. Have a good time with that. Dad's here. I'm leaving. Bye. I was so impressed with that. Totally. Really.
So, yes, back to Momzilla. What were you going to ask
back to
me?
Momzilla.
Yes.
Anyway, the point is that there are a lot of forms of abuse that are not actually seen as abuse. Momzilla is one of them, but she loved me, or I love them. And there are other forms. We haven't really talked about financial abuse. I know Gary Douglas, the founder of Access Consciousness, talks about a situation where the parents of a child who was three told him that he was responsible for all of their financial problems.
Yeah. Wow.
Exactly.
Right. And so people, you know, you think of financial abuse as, you know, I'm financially taking advantage of, you know, my, you know, aging parents or my, yeah, you know, whatever. And, you know, whereas what you're talking about is putting on a three-year-old's shoulders that he's wrong and that all the problems the parents are having is because of him, that's abuse. Because that kid's growing up, you know, feeling like they're wrong and that they want to help their parents and they can't. Well, and now I honestly can't remember if this was you or somebody else I was talking to recently whose parents always told them they could amount to nothing.
Oh, wow. No, you haven't talked to me about that. That's amazing.
Yes, yes.
He wins. How can you be a mother or father and tell your child they're not going to – I mean, I'm just like, wow.
Well, no, we could go into that part of it. Next call. We could do a whole call on
really
crazy parenting. But
crazy parenting.
You know, but no, but people do stuff like this. And, you know, I think another kind of abuse that, again, people might not see as like overt abuse is constantly cutting, belittling, chipping away at someone's confidence and sense of self.
Yeah. Oh, that just made me go, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of, well, you know, you could have done a little better. Or, really? Is that all you could do? Or, you know, and belittling people in front of others, humiliating people in front of others.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, oh, gosh, every time I think about that, I just want to go out and throttle somebody, and I don't even know who. So,
and to me, like, the real biggie in terms of like subtle, not obvious abuse is the ways that we abuse ourselves. So let me just ask everybody. Okay. So imagine your morning, you woke up, you know, you went in the bathroom, you looked in the mirror, you're getting dressed, whatever you do in the morning. How many judgments of you and your body did you have this morning?
Oops.
You feel the weight of that energy. A few or a lot. I mean, if you're like most people, there's just this constant litany of self-judgment going on. And what if each one of those judgments is an abuse of you?
Would you like to say a little bit more about that? How can a judgment be an abuse?
Okay. Well, so for example, if I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh my God, I need to lose weight. I should have gone to the gym yesterday and I didn't, and I ate that donut and I am such a terrible person, and today I'm really going to do better. But in deep down, I know I'm not, because I'm also going to go, you know, see my stepmother. I need to have some kind of food solace after that, and I really don't have time to go to the gym. You know, it's like, so we tend to constantly have these things going on in our head of what, where we're not enough, we're not doing enough, we should have done it different, if only I'd said this, you know, next time I'll say that, you know, all this kind of stuff. So as I'm saying all that, do you, Marilyn, do you feel nice and light and expansive and airy, or do you feel like heavy like a mattress?
No, I just sat way back in my chair and I went, ugh.
So judgment, yeah. I mean, judgment kills possibilities. Judgment,
yes, kills awareness.
It kills awareness. You can't have creative, generative energy and judgment in the same space.
Yeah, I want to say one thing here, Pam, that, yeah. I think that people, they're like, yeah, I get that, or maybe they don't get that. But the point is that they believe that judgment is actually valid and real. If we could make, and we've made it before, but I want to make one point on the show, if you can really get that judgment is arbitrary and unreal, and there's no, that in and of itself is reason to not hang on to it.
Yes.
You know, then you can move to a different space.
And Marilyn, so I feel like what you just said is somewhat revolutionary.
It is.
You know, not if you go to access classes, but to most people who've never been exposed to the tools we use, the idea that, you know, that judgment is arbitrary. You know, it's, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. What do you mean that...
Well,
you know,
look at this.
If I'm fat, I'm fat. How can me?
No, actually,
arbitrary.
Fat is a judgment. If you look at, and I wish I could remember when Reuben lived, but if you look at paintings that are over 200 years old, women were very voluptuous and what we would call, quote, fat today.
Yeah.
The idea of Twiggy, the idea that a woman should be anorexic and skin and bones, is actually quite new in history. And why am I bringing it up? Yeah. Well, it is, you know, 2016 and this is the way it is. But the point is that if you're willing to have a broader view of things, you can actually become aware of how judgment of bodies is totally arbitrary. Right now, you shouldn't even have breasts or hips or anything. 200, 300, 400 years ago, you better have them, or you were an impoverished lower class being.
Right. Only the rich people had enough money to have enough food to be fat.
Yeah, exactly. And then there were times in China and in the Orient when being what we would call obese was what people ascribed to, because it was a show of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
It was a show that they could eat that much. So that's one thing with the body. But if you look at anything, I mean, take any situation. Let's take our Donald Trump. Just why not?
Are we allowed to get political on this show?
Well, I'm not going to exactly get political, but the point I want to make is there are people who judge him as the savior of America, and there are other people who judge him as basically a circus animal or a total idiot. So who's right? Who's wrong? Nobody, because it's just a judgment is only a personal point of view.
Yeah.
Well, it has nothing to do with what's true or real.
And just to kind of add on to that, it's when you have a judgment, like, I'm going to go back to the fat thing, I'm fat, you've basically, by having that judgment and holding it in place, you've made it very hard to change anything. Whereas if you look at your body and you go, wow, you know, I wonder if my body and I would like to weigh less, you know, fit into these clothes we used to have. That would be fun.
Right.
You know, right. There's no judgment in that. It's just like, it's just being aware of, you know, right now my body's bigger than it has been. Sometimes it's smaller. You know, what works for me? What would I like to create in this moment from that kind of space with no judgment? It's really easy to change how much you weigh. Whereas if you're like, oh, I'm so fat, I've really got to lose weight, I'm going to diet, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to really work hard at this, that actually is a space that's very hard to change anything from.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really want to just go back to, I mean, I just did some classes in Germany that were actually really so fun and so awesome. And, I mentioned this, that judgment was actually arbitrary, and it was totally a revolution to everybody. And we spent quite a bit of time talking about it. But if you're, one of the things that can help you or people who are out there looking at this is to get that other people see, get something that you have a point of view about, and then get that there are other people who see it differently. Every point of view is a judgment. So if you have point of view A and somebody else has point of view B and somebody else has point of view C, you can see how arbitrary it is. There's no truth in any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. It makes sense to me.
Okay.
We'll see if it makes sense to everybody else. If it doesn't make sense to you, you can go to our Facebook page and give us a message. But otherwise, oh, we do have about 30 seconds left. So I'm actually also going to mention our website, which is theirreverenttherapist.com. And you can contact Marilyn and I through the email links on there. And if you have any particular questions, topics you'd like us to cover, we would love to hear from you and, you know, have you give us some information on what you'd like to hear us talk about. So on that note, we are going to go to our break and we will be back in just a few minutes to talk more about not the obvious abuse.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
What if living didn't have to be so serious?
What if you could move beyond your problems with greater confidence and ease than you've ever imagined?
Throw your labels out the window and join the Irreverent Therapist for practical tips and a very different way of approaching the changes you would like to create.
Marilyn Bradford
and Pam Hodling
have empowered hundreds of people to come out of self-judgment, quit looking to experts, and begin to create the lives they desire.
Join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Irreverent Therapist Show.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Dr. Kevin here, and I want to invite you every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to join me on the Dr. Kevin Show, where we have a diversity of guests who help you step outside the box, behind the curtain, and see what a load of crap is going on in the world today. so you have more information with which to make better decisions. We'll see you there. Namaste.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
And welcome back, everybody, to The Irreverent Therapist, where we are talking about not the obvious abuse. So, Marilyn, you were...
I don't know why that made me laugh. It did.
Because that's what we do.
Because that's what we do. That's very true.
So, so you were talking about judgment is arbitrary before we went to the break. Was there more on that, or had we kind of covered what you wanted to do?
Well, I think if just people can really get that, that any judgment you have, oh, she's a friend, oh, she's good, she's bad, she's pretty, she's ugly, I'm a failure, I'm this, I'm that. A lot of what we do with judgment is to create identities. Mm-hmm. I'm shy, I'm this, I'm that. And none of it has to be true.
Yeah.
If you believe it, you create it as truth. And that's one thing that Pam and I talk about a lot. Your point, this is an access, wonderful tool. Your point of view creates your reality. If you believe you're shy, you're going to be shy. If you believe you can't do anything with money, guess what? You can't do anything with money. So I want to, without going off the charts, because I think we really need to stay a little bit more focused on abuse. But I'm going to throw something in there that's not going to make sense to many people, and we'll just use it as a teaser. I was listening to an Access Consciousness class the other night when Gary Douglas was talking about how – actually, it's Dr. Dane here – was talking about how 90% of judgments are energetic, and that just kind of rocked my world. It's like if I see someone –
Say more. What do you mean?
Yeah, if I see someone on the street and I go, I don't want to talk to them, that's an energetic judgment. Underneath it, you could make a verbal judgment of they're greater than I am, I'm afraid they're going to reject me, I don't really like that person. Whatever it is, there's a judgment involved. So we could do that for another show, you know, Pam?
We could. Writing it down.
90% of judgments are energetic.
Well, and you know what I was thinking is, you know, people might be like, okay, cool, I'm starting to get it. You know, judgments are arbitrary, but how is it abuse? Well, so say, you know, I'm going back to Marilyn, your definition earlier that abuse is anything damaging or demeaning to the body or the being. Yeah. And it's like, so if you are directing constant judgment at yourself, is that damaging?
Oh, yes. Gee, I've never done that. Pam, have you ever done that?
I never do that. I am perfect. I don't do that.
I'm perfect. I like that one. That's good. I'm so glad I have a perfect friend. It's really very helpful.
A perfect friend who has no judgment.
I have a perfect friend who has no judgment of herself. How did I get so lucky?
No, so you might get the sense that Meryl and I are both very familiar with judging ourselves.
Not at all. No, never. Block, block.
But we do have tools that we use constantly to help us get out of judgment of ourselves. And, you know, but if you think about it energetically, Marilyn was just talking about there's energetic judgments. It's like, what are you bombarding you and your body with the constant judgments that you have of you? Say there's someone in your life that you're constantly judging. You know, what's that bombarding them with? You know, I live in a town where intellect is very highly valued.
Let me just say something about that.
Yes.
Pam lives in a town that has the highest ratio of PhDs to occupants of any place in the United States of America. So
yes.
That does give you a sense of intellect.
Yes. And we have a very good school system. That's a judgment. Point out every time I'm saying something that's a judgment in the next few minutes because it's so subtle sometimes. Yeah. But basically, there's a lot of people in this town who put a huge amount of pressure on their kids to do well in school.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they want the path of going on to higher degrees and, you know, science and all this kind of stuff. And it's like there's actually this whole thing going on in our school system now where they're rethinking high school because we also have the highest rate of teenage suicide.
Do you really?
Well, we might not be the highest, but we're way higher than wow. the national average. Yeah. And so they're looking at all the pressure that's put on kids in school and, you know, but a lot of it in this town is, it's not just the school, it's the families,
you know what? I can actually speak to that, Pam, mm-hmm. because I grew up in Princeton, New Jersey, and in a way, it was a different time. Mm-hmm. People didn't commit suicide. People didn't have drugs. There was more context. There was less freedom. Mm-hmm. But in my school, the only thing that really mattered was what your SAT scores were.
Yeah.
And before I was accepted to a really good college, I was considered a townie because Princeton University at that time was a university, how do I want to say this, very ta-ta, both intellectually and socially.
Elite.
It was very elite. And before I was accepted to a good college in the East Coast, I was a townie, I was kind of considered like a low grade slut just because, you know, once I was accepted at this good college, my whole status changed. And yeah. even at that point, I was like, wow, this is really insane. I'm the same person. But because I'm accepted at this school, and all of that, please get, is judgment.
Right. The judgments of you changed.
Yeah, exactly.
From judging you and making you an outcast to judging you and making you an innie.
I was an innie, not an outie.
Yes.
But I feel like we keep getting away from the whole idea of abuse.
I'm about to get back to that.
Yay! Go Pam!
Well, because we were talking about, you know, my town and how much pressure there is on kids. So a lot of my friends who work with primarily kids as therapists, it's like, you know, you have these parents who think they're doing what's good for their kids. But if their grade drops below an A, they're grounded for a month until their grade goes back up. Like, you know, things that you would usually think of for someone who's really struggling in school. This is just if you're not performing at the absolute top every second. And that's very damaging to the kids. Okay. There's no leeway. There's no give and take. There's no, hey, what's going on? What's happening that you're having trouble studying? It's
well, and I really want to say something here, Pam, because this has brought something up for me that I think we really need to mention on this particular show, which is that if you look at what the parents are interested in, they believe that they're interested in their kids.
Mm-hmm.
But actually what they're interested in is an arbitrary judgment of potential success. And because of that, they don't even see their kids.
Yeah.
And that's abusive. They don't see, hey, you know what? John, Mary, they're struggling. What's going on with you guys? Not, how come you're not making an A? But, you know, you seem upset. You know, maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's I don't seem to fit into school. Maybe it's I'm gay and I'm afraid to tell you.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's I really want to pursue art and you want me to go into science. But the whole – this is what I was talking about earlier in defining abuse. The whole business of you're not making A's, you're grounded, is an abuse of the being.
Yes. And that's – and, you know, and it's not the obvious abuse, right?
Exactly.
Most people would say, hey, these parents are trying to help their kids do well in school and maybe they're being a bit strict about it, but they're good parents. And it's like what it actually does to the being, again and again and again is, you know, demeaning, devaluing. They have no say. They don't count. And that's, you know, that's a kid growing up to feel like they're the effect of everything, not empowered to create their life.
Well, and they're not ever considered for who they are.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just sad, but that's incredible abuse.
So now that we've gotten all depressed, they're going, oh, these poor kids. It's like, let's talk about what you can do.
Well, wait a minute, Pam. Before we do that, I think we should talk about some of the other forms of personal abuse. I mean, things like, well, we've talked about judgment, but things like even some of the physical things like shrinking, being not speaking up. That's an abuse of self. Cutting on yourself. I've worked with a lot of cutters.
Yeah.
Not valuing yourself. There's so many ways that people get into personal abuse. And well,
and even things that can seem kind of positive. I mean, we were talking earlier about, oh, if you feel like you're fat and you're going to go work out, it's like, you know, someone who's who's just obsessed with working out to try to keep their weight down.
Yeah.
On the one hand, you could say, wow, they're really healthy. They're slim and trim and, you know, but they're actually perpetrating abuse on their body because they're exercising not from a space of being – I mean, in the same way Marilyn talked about the parents and the kids, right? Not seeing the kids, not valuing the kids. It's like you're not seeing your body for what it is, valuing your body for what it is, listening to your body. You've got a judgment and you're imposing on your body to try to match that judgment.
Well, and yeah. And I think that whole thing, I don't remember if we've done a call on that, Pam, but the whole idea of connecting with your body. I mean, and the whole abuse of not connecting with your body, not asking your body what it requires. I mean, that's a whole different show. We just opened the whatever.
Well,
here.
We did a body call. I mean, a body show last summer. But I think we could do another one, Meryl.
I think we might do another one. Really?
Yep. And we did one around the holidays about, oh, I might have done too much, something like that.
I think maybe I overdid it. I think it was something like that. Hey, you know what? We've just got 30 seconds. I'm the timekeeper here.
You're doing a good job.
Before we go to our break. And the one thing I want to say is when we're saying self-abuse, you know, there's so much you abuse me. There's so much blame. Please don't. This is not about blaming yourself, because elements of self-abuse are about things we've learned that we're not good enough. So let's let go of that. And when we come back, what do you think, Pam? Maybe we can talk about some of that.
Yes. So we will be back in just a minute.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicent, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, on OM Times Radio.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
And welcome back, everybody, to The Irreverent Therapist, where we are talking about not the obvious abuse. So, Marilyn, you were right before the break saying we'll get to this when we get back. And
I like it. What were we going to get to? Serious.
I was hoping you were
okay. Well, I think part of it is just not blaming yourself if you realize that you're being abusive to yourself. Because no, I mean, okay, I go back to this, and this is something that I've done a lot with my therapy clients and workshops, is if you've ever seen an infant, do they even have a hint of guilt or shame or any of those things about demanding what they require? Absolutely not. They're like, hi, I'm here. I need my diapers changed. I need something to eat. So all of this business of I'm ashamed, I shouldn't ask for what I want, I don't count, I'm not valued, all of those things that are actually forms of self-abuse are things that we learn from our parents, unfortunately, or society or other people. Yeah. So I'm just saying that by way of, if you find yourself or you're aware that you're doing those things, please don't blame yourself. It was a learned behavior, an entrainment. The point is to recognize that you're not treating yourself with kindness and regard. And that's what we would really like to say, both of us, I know, Pam and myself, is that what would it be like to treat yourself with real regard?
Yeah, and you know, one of the things for me is we've been talking a lot on this show about, you know, self-abuse and the judgments you do and that kind of thing. And you might be like, well, you know, what does that matter when, you know, my husband's belittling me or I can't, you know, like when there's more obvious abuse going on. And it's like, you know, we talked at the beginning about me going from being a victim to being empowered. Part of that is when you're willing to not abuse yourself, you're also willing to not allow others to abuse you. And it totally changes the dynamic.
That's awesome, Pam. Could you say a little bit more about that? When you're not willing to abuse yourself, you're not willing to allow others to abuse you. I think that's huge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because it's like, for me, the stopping, learning how to not, how to, let me back up. My brain just
back
went
up, buddy.
Places at once. Learning to and choosing to be kind to me, mm-hmm, made me realize, be aware of where other people weren't and to say, ooh, well, forget this. I can remember my first social work job. It was my second, but it was a mental health agency. And the guy who ran it was tyrannical, right? Like everybody was afraid of him and blah, 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 all this stuff. And I was hired with the, with the condition of, you know, when you're a social worker, you need to get supervision the first couple of years so you can get licensed independently and all this stuff. And that was all supposed to be part of my hiring deal. And this guy tried to say, well, no, you and your supervisor are going to have to do that outside of office hours and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so I went in to talk to him about this. And this is when I'd been doing a lot of work to not be a victim and to be kinder and gentler to myself. And it's like, no matter what he said, he was coming up with all these reasons and justifications why the, you know, how they help people with supervision and then they leave the agency and blah, blah, blah. And I just kept coming back to, it's like, nope, this was the agreement I was hired under. I'm going to make you stick to it.
Cool.
And he couldn't dominate me, and he couldn't make me belittle me and make me feel small and give in.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And that's because I was no longer willing to abuse myself.
Uh-huh.
No longer, you know, I was like, I don't need any job enough to be abused. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
No. And he actually respected me. He treated me well the rest of the time I worked at that agency, and he never gave me a problem again.
Wow. I think that's an amazing story for people. Yeah, because part of not allowing yourself to be abused is the awareness that you deserve more.
Mm-hmm.
That you're valuable, that you have some – yeah, I mean
– yeah, and if you're constantly judging yourself, you're not going to be in the space of I'm valuable, I have a contribution to make,
yeah,
and that, no, you can't abuse me. Sorry.
Sorry, right.
And from that space of valuing you, it is. It's just like, sorry, you could try it, but not going to happen.
Right. And I think, gosh, Pam, I'm just thinking about all of the ways that we self-abuse and all of the ways that we buy into other people's ideas that were not worthwhile. I mean, and that's what self-abuse comes from. These are the hidden abuses that we were talking about, that were not worthwhile, that somehow we don't count, and all of those things. And one of the things, and we haven't really touched on this, but one of the things I've realized is so much of it is about we discount all of the amazing things we've done and are in favor of what we haven't done. It's almost like, you know, that whole thing of there's 100 things and you've done 98 of them amazingly and 2 of them are not perfect. And you're like, oh, well, see what I'm missing.
See, I suck.
See, I suck. Exactly. See that I suck. Yeah. So yeah, if you find yourself in that, I would just say, what if you were willing to look at all of the amazing things you have done and are? And I'm a little hesitant to say that, Pam, because I don't want to put the value or the worth of, how can I say this, valuing you, being you. Oh, well, I only have value because I've done this.
Right. No, but discounting what you have created is one of the ways you devalue you. So,
Absolutely.
Actually, I worked with a business coach once who described it that I thought this was brilliant. It's like, if you're walking and you can see the horizon and you just keep walking, it's like the horizon is always way ahead.
Wow.
So what we tend to do is be like, well, there's still so far to go. and we don't like stand back, turn around and look back and go, wow, look at everything I've created. Look at how far I've come, you know, and whether this is things you do or, you know, for me, it was like changes I was willing to make. I was always, you know, I could change this major thing in my life that wasn't working. And I was like, well, but there's 20 gazillion other things still to change.
Right. Exactly. Now, don't let me linger on the fact that I did this amazingly well.
Yeah. And yeah. I think there's something about turning around and acknowledging who you are, what you've created, what you've chosen in your life that's gotten you where you are today, that is a totally, you know, that's a totally different energy, you know, from the judgment of and abuse of things.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think it's so important to even go one step beyond that, which maybe then we can do, which is that, you know what, no matter what, I'm valuable.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom of not being willing to abuse yourself. I'm valuable. I deserve to be honored. I'm a contribution to the world just by being me, just by being happy, just by being like, hey, I'm here. And that's what infants know that we are all taught that is not true.
Well, and I think when you have that, when you, you know, when you value yourself, when you're that infant saying, hey, I deserve to have the world.
Yes.
You know, give me what I need right now. Thank you very much.
Exactly.
You know, it's like from that space, you're not the effect of anything because you know you can change things. You know you can, that you create a difference in the world. That infant knows it can cry and someone's going to come pick it up.
Yeah.
You know, whereas if you're sitting there feeling like nothing I do makes any difference, I can never change this, get, you know, the difference of those two energies. And, you know, when you're willing to look at and see where you're abusing yourself, where someone else is abusing you, even if it's really subtle, but it's, and say, nope, I have a different choice here.
Well, and you know, we bring up something else right at the last minute, which is there's a big difference between having the awareness of what you know is true for you and buying into other people's ideas of what's, of who you are and what's true for you. And this happens a lot in families. We get boxed in as, oh, you're the stupid one, or you're the one who's never going to make much of themselves, or, you know, you're the young one, or you're the this, or you're the that. And we end up believing it rather than going, wait a minute, that's a bunch of malarkey. I don't have to believe any of that. I can be anything I want.
Yep.
But that's very difficult for most people. And that's part of not having the information that that can be true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Marilyn, any last words on not the obvious abuse? We have just a couple minutes here.
I would just say I would look at any way that you are demeaning or devaluing yourself or your body. Mm-hmm. And instead of going, oh, gosh, I'm wrong again. I'm demeaning myself, my body. Just go, okay, if I weren't doing this and if I were being kind to me, what would I be aware of?
Yeah. And if somebody else is demeaning you or being unkind to you or something like that, interesting point of view. They have this point of view. It's just a point of view. It's just a judgment. Judgment's arbitrary. It's their judgment. Yeah. It doesn't mean it's who you are or what's true for you.
And remember, most of the people who judge you are doing that so that they can control you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't need to let them do that.
So, Marilyn, what's our topic next week?
Well, wait a minute. We were talking about that.
I'm putting Marilyn on the spot.
Oh, you're totally. I tell you what. Let's do aging. Is it required?
Okay. That's our topic, guys, next week. Aging. Is it required? And I can tell you we have a bunch of good topics coming up the next few weeks because Marilyn and I were brainstorming today and came up with lots of great things. So we will be back next week, same time, same place, and we hope to see you then.
Absolutely. Thank you all for joining us.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.